Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Schieber. Glad to have you listening to the podcast. We have an interesting guest today. We're going to be talking with David Horowitz. Now, if you've been around a while, particularly in the conservative arena, you know that David Horowitz has a long and storied history. He started out, frankly, as a radical leftist. He was involved in the Black Panther Party back in the 60s. Over time, began to see things differently, and then during the Reagan administration, became a conservative, and he has been fighting the conservative fight for the last 30 years. He's written a new book called Big Agenda, and he talks about some of the strategies of the left and what they're trying to do, indoctrinating kids in college and all of that sort of stuff. So we're excited to have David Horowitz as our guest today on What Matters in North Carolina. We'll talk to him about what he expects the first 100 days of the Trump administration to look like as well. Well, want to thank you for listening and encourage you to tell your friends and your family about the show. We're here Monday through Friday. Well, you can download us all the time, anytime you want. Go to freedomactionnetwork.com and What Matters in North Carolina, or you can find us in the iTunes and Google Play stores as well. We'd love for you to like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/whatmattersnc. And we're also on Twitter at What Matters NC. And word of mouth, as you know, is the very best advertising. So tell a friend, tell a family member to check us out. We would appreciate it. Well, without any further ado, going to stand aside and sit down and talk with the legendary David Horowitz here on What Matters in North Carolina. One of the most significant voices in our country when it comes to understanding not only conservatism, but liberalism, is David Horowitz. He's written a new book called The Big Agenda. Well, Big Agenda, President Trump's Plan to Save America. Mr. Horowitz, welcome to What Matters in North Carolina, sir.
Thank you.
So for our listeners, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with you, but if you could just kind of give us a thumbnail. You've gone through the whole spectrum, starting back in the your early days as someone involved with the left, and then you've moved to the conservative arena. And can you just give us a brief history of that, sir?
Sure. I was brought up by quite communist early Cold War. I was one of the founders of the left. I got off the boat, or so I was involved in, when the Black Panther Party, which I had raised money for, murdered a friend of mine, and the left defended it. And then almost simultaneously, the left won its so-called anti-war cause and forced America to leave Vietnam, and the communists proceeded to slaughter 2.5 million peasants in Indochina, and there were no left-wing protests. And I realized that the left is the first for evil in our society.
Well,
wants to destroy our democracy, weaken us so that our enemies can defeat us. It took me a while. I kind of retired from political work for a while. And I finally voted for Ronald Reagan in 1984. I've been a conservative ever since.
Well, that certainly is quite the move from the Black Panther Party to Ronald Reagan. And today we've seen in our country...
Well, you have to understand the left is delusional.
Yeah.
It thinks that over the rainbow there's this society, call it communism, call it socialism, call it social justice. It's all the same. If only you give them enough power, and they will lie, cheat, and steal to get power. And then, of course, when they get it, they can run up against human nature, and they have to kill a lot of people, and they can't produce the prosperity they claimed. It's just a nightmare. So once you realize that, you get out of the left. Unfortunately, Barack Obama, who thankfully is no longer our president, never realized that and stayed in the left.
Well, it's interesting because there seems to be, Mr. Horowitz, in my mind anyway, and I've been doing this for quite some time, But it just seems like there's been more of a nasty attitude being exhibited by the left. And they're the ones. They're the ones that.
That's correct. The presidents normally get a 7-month honeymoon where they're allowed to get in office and do something before they're attacked. Donald Trump didn't get 7 seconds. I mean, they've been attacking him since. Never stopped attacking him. Trump said a very wise thing in the second debate with Hillary. He turned to the cameras and said, Hillary has tremendous hatred in her heart.
Yeah.
And what he was referring to was her statement that his supporters belong in a basket of deplorables, and then identifying them as racist, sexist, homophobes, Islamophobes, and xenophobes. And, of course, there isn't a conservative who has been in an argument with a so-called liberal who hasn't been called a racist. So it's the Democratic Party itself, which is now firmly a left-wing party, that is a party of hate. And that's why the attacks on Trump are unprecedented. And they will not stop. They're going to continue. And kind of written big agenda, President Trump's plan to save America, is largely about the battles that we're going to face over the next 4 years and how to win them. And it starts with an understanding of who the left is, something I know well because I was a part of it for so long.
In terms of what Donald Trump will try to do and how the left, as you said, is already, you know, he hasn't had 7 seconds to enjoy his victory and going forward. I'm sure they will fight him at every turn. But do you think, Mr. Horowitz, that he will be able to do the things that he says that he would like to do? And you say he has a plan to save America. Will he be able to?
Well, I think he already is doing that. And the first thing he's done is he's blown up political correctness, which is a party line. It's a term actually invented by Mao Zedong, greatest mass murderer in human history. And it was the Communist Party line that if you deviated from it, if you don't toe the line, you lose your friends and your communities. And that's, of course, how the Democratic Party is up. Of course, the Democratic Party is not quite the Communist Party yet. But that's how they operate. African-Americans wanted to give Trump a chance to show that he means it when he says he's going to bring a new deal to Black America. And people like Steve Harvey, who, you know, was all out there for Hillary, but wants to give the new president a chance. They've been announced as mediocre Negroes.
Wow.
By that leftist Mark Montell. I mean, how racist is that? You know, they're boycotted. They come under enormous pressure. Any black who's willing to have an open mind comes under enormous pressure. You know, they're basically called race traitors. So that mentality persists here. What I think that Trump is going to do, so first of all, this calling people racist is the chief weapon that the Democrats, so-called liberals and progressives, wield. And you can't really defend yourself once you start explaining why you're not a racist.
Yeah.
They've already rolled over you. What you need to do is throw the charge right back in their face. And the Democratic Party is a racist party. It's a party that's reintroduced racial categories into every aspect of American life. So if you have the right skin color, you get the privilege of going to the front of the line when you're looking for a job or trying to get into a college. And what Trump has done is to go at the inner cities. The Achilles heel of the Democratic Party is their control, their monopoly. They have 100% control of all the major inner cities in America and have for 50 to 100 years. So everything that's wrong with the inner cities, the killing fields, the welfare system that forces people into a dependency from which they'll never get out of, the failed schools, public schools, which are run for the teacher unions, and where these, you know, poor Black and Hispanic kids never get the skills they need to get a shot at the American dream. The rampant crime there, which comes from one, gun control laws, Chicago, which is you're more likely to lose your life getting shot at Chicago than Iraq. Those gun control laws are all Democrat laws. The catch and release programs where convicted violent felons get released so they can kill again. This is all on the Democrats' heads. And Republicans have, this has been going on for decades. And Republicans just avert their eyes. But Trump is taking it head on. And I believe he's going to succeed at this. He's already come out with a $130 billion voucher program for inner city kids. He will blow up the Democratic base. If Republicans could get 20 or 25% of the Black vote, Democrats could not win a national election.
Mr. Horowitz, let me ask you this question, and I have to set the question up, so just give me 1 second. But I have been saying for years that I do not understand why the African-American community continues to support the Democratic Party. They have done nothing for them. So explain to me, if you can, why the African-American...
Well, it's two things. One is the penalty for deviating is that you get shunned by your own community. You're going to lose all your friends. They will punish you. The Democrats will... I mean, look, there's no people who are more abused than Black conservatives by Democrats. But the other side of it is that Republicans have said nothing and done nothing to change this. They let this go on year in and year out.
Yeah.
Never make a protest. I spent the last 20 years trying to persuade, well, almost 20 years. I tried to persuade, I had raised a lot of money for George Bush on his first run. And so I had access, you know, and I talked to key domestic guy, Josh Bolton, and proposed a $100 billion voucher program. And they ignored it. And that's what Republicans did until Donald Trump. I also had a connection to the Trump campaign through Steve Bannon, who himself has been so abused. I mean, call him a white nationalist. He's the exact opposite. And that's why they adopted a $130 billion voucher program. That voucher program, all of the previous Republican voucher program is very modest, like $1,500 per student, which means the parents have to raise money. This voucher program, I insisted that it covered or be comparable to the tuition public schools. So the average taxpayer contribution to public schools is $12,000 per child. What the voucher program does is instead of giving it to the Democrat-run bureaucracies in the school systems who don't give a damn whether the kids learn or not, is to give it to the parents and allow them to find a school, whether it's religious, whether it's private, whatever, that will actually teach them. When inner-city parents find out that Donald Trump is offering them $12,000 per child to get their kids educated so they can have a chance to get ahead in this life, that will be the end of the Democratic power.
There are people, Mr. Horowitz, who are genuinely, it seems like, just really filled with vitriol, and they seem to really buy in to a lot of the political correctness. We've seen this on universities and college campuses, and I think that, you know, one of the things that you have been talking about, or at least when you were involved early on, was, you know, students and influencing students. And there seems to be a, on the one hand, universities of higher education want to say, well, we want to have free speech, but then it's only leftist free speech. And, you know, there's a chapter in your book on leftist indoctrination in schools. What could President Trump do to, you know, help bring a better environment on the college campuses?
Schools, Trump could do this by leadership. If you have a superintendent of schools, you know, there are many school districts in a geographical area. If you have a superintendent of schools, I've already drawn up a code of ethics for K-12 teachers. And it should be modeled on the Hatch Act, that they can't, a K-12 teacher should not be allowed to advocate for a political party. It should not be, they should be able to teach controversial issues, controversies, but they should not be allowed to advocate one side. I mean, you know, like they're already indoctrinating kids about global warming and all this kind of crap. They can teach the controversy, but they can't impose one side. And if they do, they get suspended. This is just a code of ethics issued by the superintendent of schools. If they do, they get, you know, suspended and put on probation. And then if they do it again, they get their license taken away from them. Hmm. That will give parents the power. Now, right now, parents, you know, if they complain, their kids are going to be in a hard place. The teacher can take out retribution on them. And they have no weapon on their side. But if you have a superintendent, this code of ethics put in by the superintendent of schools, and there's going to be a punishment for those teachers, then parents can be a power to defend their children from indoctrination. I have other proposals, but they're a little complicated. But the biggest thing is that Trump has exploded the political correctness party line. And how important is that? Well, conservatives, Republicans elected Republicans to the House in 2010 and 2014 in record numbers. And they were pledged to do away with Obamacare and to oppose Obama's other lefting programs. And they didn't do anything. They voted to fund Obamacare and to fund these programs. And why did they do that? Because they were afraid of being called obstructionists and racists. And Trump is not afraid. I mean, what Republican besides Donald Trump would have looked Hillary in the eye and called her on national TV a crook and a liar?
Yeah.
When of course, she's both. There is none. And that's liberating. All right? You know, it's so the duck, the submarine mentality is what they call it in the Navy. But duck head for cover, don't confront. That mentality of Republicans is going to take a while to change. But Trump, he's setting the way and the path. And I think this is going to have tremendous political consequences.
So what do you see? Our guest David Horowitz here, and his brand new book is called Big Agenda, President Trump's Plan to Save America. He was sworn in almost 3 hours ago. What do you anticipate for his first 100 days? What do you even anticipate for his first few days?
Well, I think he's going to undo an awful lot of the executive orders, particularly the unconstitutional ones that Obama put in place. I think he's going to focus on the border immediately, get the wall going, start deporting felons, convicted felons who are here. There's hundreds of thousands, maybe over a million. Of course, he can't do that until he gets his cabinet in place, and the Democrats are doing everything they can to obstruct that. I wish Republicans would start calling these Democrats obstructionists, which is what they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, Republicans just don't know how to fight, so I'm hoping Trump will teach them swiftly. They're already beginning to do Obamacare, which is good. You know, there are several plans in place to replace it. All of them would be better. And they just have to agree on those plans. I don't think that's going to be a big problem. He's going to, you know, he's going to strengthen the police forces. He's going to rebuild the military. Obama's agenda, I mean, Obama's an anti-American leftist. And one of his agendas was weakening America, taking us down militarily. And he has. He stripped us of our, you know, his colors are showing in these last weeks. He's sympathetic to terrorists. He keeps releasing terrorists, and they go back on the battlefield from Guantanamo and kill Americans again. He's sympathetic to criminals. I mean, he's commuted more criminal sentences and pardoned more criminals than any president before him by far. But these are his inner. He's a pretty clever guy when it comes to concealing his agendas. He spent 8 years stabbing our most important ally in the Middle East, Israel, the only democracy there, the frontline state in the war on terror. He concealed it by keeping up the military support we're giving them. But politically, he isolated Israel, and he's lent his weight to the terrorists, the Palestinian terrorists. That's his true colors. But in any case, I just think that once he gets his team in place, people's heads will spin as he moves forward. He's going to move forward with great speed on all these things. I believe that he certainly sincerely believes what he says.
Let me ask you this question.
I think it's very important people understand that this is a man who put his family name on everything.
Yeah.
He cares about his reputation. He cares about his legacy. And that gives me great confidence he's going to go forward and keep his promises.
Let me ask you this question, Mr. Horowitz, because I really would be intrigued by your answer. The American people, and particularly... And I don't know where you stand on religion and faith or anything like that, but I'm just going to include that in this question. People of faith and Americans in general seem to be apathetic when it comes to things like what I call an assault on traditional values, this whole transgender movement, wanting men in women's restrooms. We've dealing with that in North Carolina. We've also seen gay marriage come to the forefront. And then... Here's President Obama releasing terrorists. Here's deals with Iran. And whether it's cultural or morality or even national security, I get a great sense that the American people just don't really pay attention or care. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're wrong. I just haven't had leaders. They haven't had somebody like Trump who's willing to fight the battles. Now, he's not going to fight all of those battles. I believe that it's absolutely the foundational rights in America, there's the right to religious freedom. And religious people have to be protected from the overreaching power of government, which wants to force them to do things against their conscience. And that is Obama in spades, as it were. You know, since I'm talking in North Carolina, I've never understood the bathroom issue, because how are you going to establish that, a person is going to the bathroom of the sex that's on his or her birth certificate, unless you're going to have a cop in every bathroom examining people's genitals. So we have to punish molesters, but you know there's really no protection when you go to a public restroom anyway. So I don't understand your law. It seems to me incredibly impractical. But other than that, I stand with the religious community on on the issues of protecting their rights as, you know, to practice their religions and their conscience. I think it's terribly invasive for the government to overturn that. I think the gay marriage issue is, the religious community has lost that. It's part of the law of the land. I don't think it can be reversed.
But my point is, these things seem to happen without any resistance, whether it be from people of faith or conservatives.
That's because people on the right are too damn polite, too well bred, and they don't want to. They don't like ugly battles. The left lives for political warfare. It's called Big Agenda. It's a manual for fighting these battles.
All right, and we will tell our listeners how to get that. David Horowitz, thank you very much for being our guest today. Well, apologize for his phone there at times in the beginning was a little weird, but it got better. And he's an interesting character and an older guy. He's been around. He's seen the, well, he's seen the very worst of the left. And, well, I can't say that because I thought I had seen the very worst of the left. And then I saw some of the pictures on Twitter from the women's equality march this weekend, and wow, I can't even comment. Some of that stuff was just unbelievable. And what really bothers me is the way that kids are being used by their parents. I could take you to Twitter right now and show you some of the most appalling, graphic, profane, vulgar, vile, hateful posters that you've ever seen in your entire life. Things that you might not even think about ever saying or writing down. And women have their kids, 5, 6, 8, 10-year-old children, holding these signs. Now, this is the group of people, by the way, the party that complains all the time that we on the right, we conservatives, we don't care about children and we don't care about education. And yet when you get a group together like this, and again, folks, don't let anybody fool you. These are not, you know, regular folks like you and me. These are people who are radical and they want nothing more than to destroy this country. And they couldn't give 2 cents about children. All you have to do is just scroll through and see some of the vulgarity. It's just hideous. And that will let you know where their priorities are when it comes to kids. Well, thanks to David Horowitz, and thank you for listening. And tomorrow we're going to have a fantastic show. You got to tell somebody that Demi Dowdy fired up about the Women's Equality March, and she's going to tell us all about it. And, well, frankly, I'm a little frightened, and I might have to go in another room. Just kidding. But, boy, she's got some things to say, so you're going to want to hear that. So don't miss a minute of What Matters in North Carolina.